Turn with us, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. If you need a copy of the Bible, just get the attention of one of these greeters as they're making their way down the aisles. In just a moment, they'd love to get a paperback copy of the Bible to you. And turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, chapter 6, as we continue to consider what gospel renewal looks like in everyday life, considering today the topic of daily work. And I'm not going to say everything that could be said from the Bible, obviously, about a theology of work. I'm really not going to say everything that could be said. There are a number of very good books out there that I think many of us really should be more familiar with than we are, because many of us spend hours every week doing things that sometimes we have a hard time connecting with what the Bible has to say. And so it's worth reading good resources, good books like Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller, or Work Matters by Tom Nelson, or The Call by Oz Guinness, or What's Best Next. There are a number of books out there that can help us think about how the Bible has something to say about what many of us are doing from 8 to 5, or from 7 to 6, or whatever the hours may be, Monday through Friday on a regular basis. So we're not going to say everything, but we are today going to talk a little bit about what happens in real life when Jesus Christ gets his gospel into our hearts, when his Spirit fills our lives. We've talked about how that will lead not only to renewed worship on Sundays when we gather together, not only renewed gratefulness in our hearts, but also to renewed marriage relationships, renewed home relationships between children and parents. And today in Ephesians 6, we're going to look at what happens when the good news of Jesus Christ and God's Spirit go deep in our hearts. What happens in our daily work in the workplace? We're going to consider that topic together from Ephesians chapter 6, but I'll begin with a story about a guy whose job title in Greek was doulos. In English, we might call him a household servant, a bond servant maybe, or even a slave. Now, slavery in his culture wasn't quite like slavery in 19th century America. It was in some ways, the life of a doulos was in some ways more like the life of a household worker in 19th century Britain. So you might think less of Uncle Tom's Cabin and more of Downton Abbey, if you will. Nonetheless, this man in his era, working as a bond servant, didn't like his job much at all. In fact, he downright hated it. Thousands of people like him were employed in his city to serve around the house or out in the fields or in the family business. Many of them were content with their work as a bondservant, and still for this young man, he found his work to be not at all appealing. The long hours, the endless duties, the countless unnoticed details that he was never thanked for, that he was never adequately compensated for, they became a great burden to him. He began to despise his daily work. His name was Onesimus. His name means useful. But to his boss, he actually became the opposite of useful. He became rather useless. See, the more he despised his work, the less work he put into it, which led in a negative cycle, a downward spiral, making things go from bad to worse. And we don't know how long he dreamed and fantasized and schemed about how he might one day escape from his daily work. But at one point, he took the risks involved. He broke his agreement with his boss. He ran away. He left town in search of a new life. And he did, as it turned out, in another city, discover new life, although it didn't look quite like he expected it to. It all began one day in Rome when he met a man named Paul who told him about a new Lord, a new master, someone named Jesus Christ, who was in the very form of God and yet willingly did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself a doulos, made himself a servant, becoming human and living a righteous life among us, serving other people for their good and for the glory of God. And he heard about how this Lord Jesus Christ willingly died on the cross, taking the penalty for our sins, and rose in new life, in victory over the grave. And doubtless this man Paul told Onesimus this servant, this slave, this bondservant. He told him about the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins that is found for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Onesimus's heart was captured and captivated by this new message of Jesus Christ. And his whole life from the inside out was totally transformed. He began a new life submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. A new life with new purpose and new direction and new vision and new hope and new joy and new peace. He was discipled by the Apostle Paul himself. And then came the day when they began to talk about what the lordship of Christ would mean for Onesimus's relationship with his former employer. His former employer who he hated, his former day job that he despised. I don't know exactly what happened that day when Paul and Onesimus got into the topic. You can almost imagine Onesimus trying to connect the dots himself as a new disciple, saying, "Paul, this is so awesome. Now that Jesus is my Lord, I don't have to go back and work in my day job, right? Now that Jesus is my master, I don't have to go back to working as a bondservant anymore, right, Paul?" And you can almost imagine Paul taking a deep breath and saying, "Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. Actually, let's think through this and try to figure out how can you honor your Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life? How can you honor him now that you're following him? Now that he's your Lord, what will that mean for your day job, for your daily work, for your career as a bondservant?" It turns out for Onesimus, the lordship of Christ and following the Lord Jesus Christ didn't mean being set free from the daily grind of his job. If you read the book of Philemon, you can read a letter that Paul actually put in Onesimus' hand as he sent him back to find his former master, his former Lord Philemon, and sent this letter with him, taking it back. A letter in which Paul himself explained, "I'm sending him back. Someone who used to be useless to your business now has become incredibly useful. Not only to you, but to me. And so I want to urge you to receive him back, not with severe punishments, but to receive him back as a brother. It's part of the family of faith." You see, for Onesimus, following the Lord Jesus Christ didn't mean being set free from the daily grind of work. Rather, it meant going back to the same old workplace, but going back as a whole new person with a whole new master and a whole new level of motivation. You see, for Onesimus, it meant going back to the same old workplace as a whole new kind of worker. And in our passage for today, we'll see that this lesson didn't only apply to one bondservant named Onesimus. It didn't only apply even just to bondservants in the first century. We'll see in our passage for today that what we might call the Onesimus principle is true for us today. Following the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't set us free from the daily grind of work. Rather, it sends us back this week into the same old workplace, but as a whole new kind of worker. And that Onesimus principle, if you will, is true for us today, whether you're an engineer or a teacher or a manager or a barber or a cook or a plumber or a framer or a trim carpenter, whether you're an accountant or a violin teacher, a forklift driver, a painter, a medical professional, whether you're a Starbucks barista, or even if you're a person who gets paid to dress up like a Chick-fil-A cow, the Onesimus principle applies for us this week. For people in almost any sphere of work, however much you may feel tired of your daily work, however much you may identify with Onesimus in that sense of just being fed up and done with the daily grind, However much you may feel like you just like to be totally set free from ever having to go back to your workplace again, however much you may have fantasized about escaping from working on a day-to-day basis, the Onesimus principle still stands. Following Christ this week for you will not mean being set free from the daily grind of your day job. Rather, it will mean going back to the same old workplace as a whole new person, with a whole new master and a whole new level of motivation. It'll mean going back to the same old workplace as a whole new kind of worker. Why? Because you have a whole new Lord in Jesus Christ. Let's give our attention to what Paul says to workers and to bosses in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 5. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service, not as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both your master and theirs is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. This is the word of God. May God, would you bless the reading of your word today? Amen. Okay, so here's what I want to do as we look at this passage of Scripture. This passage very obviously falls kind of into two parts, right? First, Paul talks to the bondservants who are listening in as part of the church in Ephesus, and then he talks to masters who are listening in as a part of the church of Ephesus. And so I just want to look at Paul's challenge to the bondservants, and then I want to look at Paul's challenge to the masters, and then I want to kind of synthesize it together. I want to kind of cinch it down in one challenge for every worker here in our gathering today, okay? So first of all, a challenge, and actually not only a challenge, but the truth that underlies that challenge for Christian workers. The challenge for Christian workers is this: serve with all your heart. Paul challenges Christian workers, go and serve this week with all of your heart. He begins in verse 5, even going so far as to say, obey your earthly masters. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't set you free from serving other people. In fact, in some ways, it sends you back into serving other people in a whole new way, making you more radically obedient, making you more radically devoted to your organization's good than you ever would have been apart from the lordship of Jesus Christ. Bondservants, go and serve your earthly masters, but don't just do it outwardly, do it with a sincere heart. Not just out to please your boss, not just out to catch other people's eyes, not just out for the approval of other people, but serving the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't just go and work in a way that will catch your boss's eye. Go and work in such a way as if you're working for the boss, Jesus Christ himself. Go back to work for him this week, Paul says. And you can almost hear the objection, the concern, the worry. Yeah, I know that I'm supposed to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can always hear these bondservants like, I wash dishes for a living. I work in fields for a living. What good does that do anybody? What difference does it make if I leave these dishes in a messy pile or if I clean them spick and span. In any case, my boss doesn't know the difference. He doesn't come by and check every last dish that I wash. He doesn't stand and watch every last thing that I do in the field. In fact, I can't even remember the last time my boss adequately thanked me for the sweaty work that I do outside. I can't remember the last time that I got a pay increase. I can't remember the last time that I was paid even a fraction of what my back-breaking labor is worth here. I'm underappreciated. I'm undervalued. I'm underpaid. My work goes overlooked. And there seems to be absolutely no hope of a promotion within this organization. Paul, now what should I do? Paul says, here's what you should do. Go and serve with all your heart, knowing that you have a new and better boss in Jesus Christ. You have a new and better boss who doesn't overlook your hard work, who doesn't fail to notice your diligence on the job. And you have a new and better boss who promises that he will personally reward you for every good thing that you do in the workplace. Now, let's just pause right there for 1 second. Why do I want to pause there? Because I have met very, very, very few Christians in my lifetime who actually believe that that's true. It's in the Bible. We read it. And yet almost every time that I've ever read this with someone and talked to them about this, they look back at me as if I'm about to tell them, yeah, that's what it says, but there's a secret meaning underneath it that doesn't mean anything like what it sounds like. People look at me like, that can't possibly be true. Jesus cannot possibly care about my day job unless I work for Crossway Books and publish Bibles for a living. People look at me like God cannot possibly be intending to reward me for the good things that I'm doing in the workplace unless I'm sharing the gospel with my coworkers. That must be what Paul means, right? Well, don't get me wrong. I love sharing the gospel with coworkers. Why? Because we love our coworkers and we want them to know the best message on the planet. We care about them, so we want them to know the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. But that's not what this passage is talking about, is it? Is talking to bond servants, people who wash dishes and pick fields and pick weeds in fields all day. That's what they do for a living. And Paul writes to them and says, listen to me, anything good that you do in the workplace, anything good, Jesus is planning to reward you for it. You don't believe me still, do you? Look with me again at verse 8. This is something you need to know, Christian workers, if you're there in the workplace. You need to know, Paul says, verse 8, that whatever good anyone does, and some of you are still like, well, what does whatever mean? Can't mean my kind of work. Paul says, whatever. Whatever good anybody does in the workplace, scrubbing dishes, pulling weeds, resolving conflicts, teaching kids, drawing plans, writing proposals, serving plates of food. Whatever good anybody does in the workplace. Whatever good. What good things do you do during the week? Just go ahead and plug these in for a second. Do you do decent things during the week every once in a while? What good things have you done in the past week that have gone unnoticed by your superiors at work? I bet there are a bunch of them. In fact, you've probably got a whole list of them, and instead of talking to God about them, you've just been complaining to your coworkers about them. You've just been grumbling to your friends. Nobody ever notices when I do X, Y, or Z in my workplace. Actually, that's not true. There's somebody who does notice. And he does plan to personally reward you for it. And his name is Jesus. See, this is part of having a whole new Lord, and this is part of where we find this whole new motivation that we have as Christian workers. We understand that we have a boss who doesn't miss things. And he doesn't forget. You know, sometimes it's not only that our bosses don't see what's going on, they see it and maybe they pat us on the back and say, good job, and then they forget about it when it comes time for reviews and raises and things like that. And so we never get any compensation for it except a pat on the back. Jesus doesn't forget. He knows exactly every good thing that you've done to the glory of God and for the love of other people and to serve others in your way. He knows every good thing that you've ever done, and he hasn't forgotten them. And so, Christian workers, check this out. As you are serving as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, week by week and month by month and year by year, you have being stored up for you this treasure of rewards. This treasure of heavenly rewards that will one day be dumped out on you by grace. And you're going to be standing there saying, wait a second, I'm just a rebel. I rebelled against God. I don't deserve to receive massive rewards for what I did in the workplace. And Jesus will say, by my blood, your guilt is totally washed away. In my righteousness, you are totally accepted. And because of what you did in the workplace by the power of my Spirit, loving other people, serving others humbly, day after day, week after week, month after month, here is a treasure of unpaid rewards that are now due you. Christian workers, listen to this. The challenge is to serve with all your heart. And the truth that empowers this challenge is knowing that we serve a Lord who by his nature is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. And as you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, your ultimate boss, plans to reward you for anything good that you do in the workplace, however small, however unnoticed it may seem, it gives you a fresh motivation to keep on working with all your heart, with gladness, day by day and week by week and month by month, right there in the same old workplace that has begun to seem to you like a drudgery. That's what Paul's challenge is for Christian workers. Work with all your heart because your new Lord is a rewarder. Paul's challenge to masters, Paul's challenge to Christian bosses is this: treat everybody with respect. Treat everybody with respect. Look at what Paul says, this surprising statement in the first century. Look at what Paul says in verse 9. Masters, do the same to them. And actually, this has kind of confused people through the years. If you read like commentaries, actually, you know, from just about any century in the last 2,000 years, commentaries have tripped up over this because there's like, it can't mean that. It can't mean that Christian bosses are really supposed to treat their servants the same way their servants treat them. It couldn't mean that, could it? It couldn't, except under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't make a lick of sense anywhere else in the world. But under the lordship of Jesus Christ, Christian bosses are actually called to go and treat their workers, to treat those in their team, to treat those under their authority, to treat those who report to them with a certain kind of respect. In fact, the same type of respect that their workers owe to them. Christian bosses, do the same to them. Treat them with the same kind of dignity and respect that they treat you with. Why? And here's the truth that Paul holds out for masters. Why should masters treat their employees with respect? Why should they not threaten them and use harsh means to motivate them? Paul says, again, because of something you know about your Lord. Because of something you know about your master. Because he's going to hold you accountable, just like he's going to hold them accountable. Now, there's something interesting here. In both cases, Paul is appealing to masters and to servants to realize that they have a Lord in Jesus Christ who changes the way they work in the workplace. there's actually something interesting that happens kind of under the hood or behind the scenes here, something that's a little bit lost in translation. It's the fact that in the Greek language, the word master is actually the same as the word Lord. Superior. Kind of like how in British culture over time, people began to refer to almost any superior as my lord. In Greek culture, servants referred to their masters as my lord. And so Paul writing here, quite literally, we could translate this, lords, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their lord and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. See, Paul points both workers and bosses to the lordship of Jesus Christ as the truth that needs to transform everything they do during the day in their day job. Now, it's interesting, though, that when he talks to bondservants, it's as if he understands, bondservants, you're used to being held accountable, but you're not so used to getting the reward that you're due for your work. And then he turns to the masters, and it's as if he kind of realizes the opposite tends to be true. Masters, those who have a number of people reporting to you in your workplace, those who have a large team that you oversee or supervise, it may be that even without noticing it, you've become accustomed to being rewarded without being held accountable in the same way that your reports are held accountable. And so Paul says the lordship of Jesus Christ needs to shine some light into your day job so that you realize that one day you will have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's a day coming when you will have to give an account to him. And keep that in mind as you relate to those who report to you. For with the judgment you use, it will be measured to you, as Jesus said, right? Christian bosses, keep in mind your accountability to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do so, it will motivate you, it will empower you, it will enable you to go into your workplace and treat those who report to you with a kind of dignity and a kind of respect and a kind of love that is almost unheard of on this side of the fall of man and the return of Christ. Now, I told you I wanted to point briefly to what Paul says to workers and to bosses and then kind of cinch these things together into one takeaway for all of us related to our workplaces this week. Here's the way I want to kind of cinch these things together. Here's how I want to kind of summarize these things and challenge us to go and work differently this week, whether you're a school teacher or whether you work in the finance industry, whether you manage people or whether you have three bosses who are a pain in the neck to deal with, whether you swing a hammer or whether you punch at keys on your keyboard all day. One takeaway for you is this. This week, go to work for an audience of one. Isn't this the essence, the summary of what Paul is saying, both to workers and to managers? Isn't this the essence of what Paul is saying to everybody there in the Ephesian church? Isn't this what God by His Spirit is saying to us today? Listen, Christian workers, as you go back to work this week, do it with all your heart before an audience of one. Do it with all your heart, realizing that you have a new Lord. His name is Jesus. And in Him you have accountability, and in Him you have a rewarder. So go to work for Him. And work, whatever you put your hand to, get at it with all your heart. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. famously said, if it falls to your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep the streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. like Shakespeare wrote poetry, like Beethoven composed music, sweep the streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great sweeper who swept his job well. I love that stirring challenge from Martin Luther King Jr. But if I could be critical of Martin Luther King Jr. for one moment, he painted a very Christian picture of what work looks like. But in that message, he didn't exactly point us to the motive or the power that truly enables us to go and work like that. Listen, I think actually that's a really good description of what Christian workers will do. If it falls to your lot to be a student studying algebra, study algebra the way that Michelangelo painted pictures. Study algebra the way that Beethoven composed music. Study algebra so that all heaven and earth will stop and say, here was a great algebra studier. If it falls to your lot to do accounting for an organization, do your accounting work like Michelangelo painted pictures. Do it like Beethoven composed music. Do it in such a way that heaven and earth will stop and say, here was a great accounter. If it falls to your lot to be a manager of other people, manage other people the way that Michelangelo painted pictures, the way that Beethoven composed music. Manage other people in such a way that heaven and earth will stop and say, here lived a great manager of other people who pointed to the way that God rules and manages his world, to the glory of his name and for the good of other people. But what will enable us to get there? What will empower us to get there? It's the motive that Paul held out for Christian workers and Christian bosses. It's the motive of knowing that we live for an audience of one. We live for one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking about a week ago with a younger guy who works in food preparation. He works in a kitchen. He makes food and washes dishes and stuff like that. And we were talking about his work there in the kitchen, and he was just saying, man, I need some help with this because I really wrestle with how I relate to my coworker. I really wrestle especially with this one guy who bosses me around all the time, even though he's technically not my supervisor. I really wrestle with this stuff, and I'm starting to hate my job. I said, yeah, let's talk about that, man. We had a good conversation, and part of what I told him is just, man, on this side of the fall of humanity, work does tend toward broken relationships. Things just don't tend to work at work because of the fall of humanity. It's part of the curse of sin. Work is not a part of the curse of sin, but broken work, futile work, work with animosity, work with idolatry mixed in. That's part of the curse of sin. So I say, yeah, man, this is very common. I understand. But if Jesus is your Lord and Master, how's that going to change the way you go back to work? And we looked actually at this exact passage of Scripture and we read it and we just started talking about, man, listen, what if you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to hold you accountable? Not just that other guy who annoys you, that he's going to hold you accountable, but what if you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hold you accountable for the way that you interact with other people in the workplace? Would that change things a little bit? Yeah. What if you knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was planning to repay you for the way that you wash your dishes there in that kitchen? So that even when your boss overlooks it and doesn't appreciate it, and even when that other guy argues with you about how you're doing it, and even when you feel like getting at each other's throats and you can't stand each other anymore, what if you knew that everything you do there in your kitchen, as long as that's your day job, what if you knew that every good thing you did, however unnoticed by other people, that Jesus himself, in his grace and mercy, was planning to reward you for it? He said, I have never thought about it like that before. And he went back to work. We got together about a week later, and I asked him how things were going at work. And I kind of expected him to say, about the same. Because that's what happens about half the time I give people counsel. Yeah, I don't know. We talked about the Bible, and I don't know. That happens sometimes. I understand. But, I was kind of half expecting. But he came back and said, no, it's totally different. It's completely different this week. What's changed? Is that other guy not as annoying as he used to be? No, man, he's a pain in the neck. What's changed? I'm going to work and thinking that Jesus is my boss this week. You see what he's doing? He's going to work for an audience of one. And he understands the gospel well enough to understand that as he goes and works for Jesus as his boss, he has a boss in whom he is already accepted. He doesn't need to fight and scrape and fear his way into acceptance and approval. He's already got all the affirmation he needs in Jesus Christ. So he's set free from the scrapping, the striving, the fighting for approval. He knows that in Jesus Christ, he's got accountability. He's not going to slack off and just start texting on his phone when no one's watching, because he knows that Jesus sees what he's doing. And he's not going to be so swayed by the approval and opinion of other people anymore. He's motivated at a whole new level. He's able to go into his work in that kitchen and do it from his heart in a whole new way. Why? Because he knows that his loving Lord Jesus Christ is a rewarder. And that in the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for his sins to wash away his guilt and shame, who lived a life of righteousness and rose again to give him a righteousness in which he would be accepted, he knows that when he stands one day before God, for anything and everything he's done, good for the love of other people or the glory of God himself, he knows that one day his master is going to say, "Well done. I remember what you did that day in the kitchen, and here's your reward you never received from your master. And I remember what you did that one day when you were working at that next job when you were done with your job in the kitchen. And here's your reward you never received from that master. And I remember when you put your heart and your hand into that new business venture that one time, and because of the futility of the fallen world, not that much came out of it. Here's the reward for all of your excellent efforts on my behalf to love other people and to glorify the name of my Father." He knows that one day he will be generously rewarded, which will leave him in tears before his Savior, saying, "What a Savior. What kind of Lord and Master is this, who not only takes my guilt and shame and removes them, but now empowers me and rewards me for every last good thing done in this life?" He's a whole new person with a whole new identity, a whole new peace, a whole new confidence, a whole new kind of diligence. Why? Because he has a new Lord and Master who he's glad to serve, which makes him a whole new kind of worker for the good of others and to the glory of God. How about you? What's it going to look like for you this week to go back to work for an audience of one? How are you going to remind yourself that your Lord is not the boss who looks over your shoulder, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself? How are you going to remind yourself of that happy truth? And how is your work going to look different as you live in the good of that? Now, what if we were a community of people who didn't just go to work each day, kind of shuffling our feet, punching the clock, doing the basic responsibilities, and going home and saying, "How was work? It stunk." What if we were a community of people who took seriously the lordship of Jesus Christ over every square inch of our lives? Happily going to work day after day, not just to get a paycheck in 2 weeks from our earthly masters, but for the joy of serving Jesus. What if we were a community of people who are doing that for the good of others and to the glory of his name? What a sweet thing that would be.